You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Ahmet Dursun Sergen aldı. Sergen Bülent yan yana. Sergen Bülent. Sergen. Yanında Tümer var. Tümer'in onu aksın kaybetti. Tümer topu aldı. Sergen aldı. Gol. Gol. Sergen attı. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi.
İbrahim'in pası. Yuma. Şimdi Ahmet. İkinci gole gidiyor Beşiktaş. Ahmet.
Gentlemen, and welcome back to the Black Eagles podcast. We are coming off a very painful defeat at the hands of Trabzonspor, where I think a lot of us are left guessing who is there to blame for it. I mean, sometimes there aren't, of course. Like, sometimes you have situations where referees make poor decisions. And while, of course, referees are never perfect, I definitely don't think that this defeat is on the referee. There's some people complaining about the goal that got disallowed, or Marcoli's goal that got disallowed, especially fueled by some pundits saying that that was a mistake. Well, technically, yes, it's a mistake because the situation, the foul happened before the whistle, so the referee should have put stop play. Should have warned both players and then should have let the free kick be taken again. But because he doesn't, and the foul is committed before, the goal should stand, therefore. Yeah, technically that is true, right? But I kind of understand. It was a very clear and obvious foul. The referee made a mistake, sure. Yeah. But other than that, I think what we can take away from this game is that Chenol is bad at rotating. I said that before, I'll say it again. I think his rotational policies are very poor. He tends to either not make changes or he makes too many changes. He's also sticking way too long with the Onur Bulut as left back solution. That is good in a pinch, but when you have other options, like Tyfo Bingo, for example, who is very much more natural on the left wing, then you need to utilize those. We also still have Zainuddinov, who's only ever really played there for 10 minutes for us. And Masuaku came on in the second half. Perhaps Masuaku wasn't ready to play 90 minutes. Then I understand that he leaves him on the bench. But, of course, putting Onur there again, I think, is a little bit of a glaring issue. And he was also not very good in this game. But having said that, I thought for the first 30 or so minutes before their goal, we were actually really good. I really liked the way we were playing, the combination football we were playing. It just didn't result into a goal. We had one really good goal-scoring opportunity where Rebic brilliantly snuck Jetson through. Jetson tried to lob the keeper, but he put it just on the roof of the goal. That really should have been the 1-0 for us, and that, of course, would have changed the game completely. At that point, it would have also been deserved, I thought. Trabzonspor were very meek in the opening 15-20, half an hour maybe. We were really forcing our will upon them, retaining possession, pushing them back. And then it resulted in that chance for Jetson. We also had another half chance, I guess you could call it, for Cenk. Later, a little bit later, where Salih almost sneaks him through at the back, but you can just notice that Cenk isn't fully fit yet, and I think a sharp Cenk would have got on the end of that ball and gone one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And you know, when Cenk Tosun goes one-on-one with the goalkeeper, how that usually ends. But then, of course, what always happens in a game like this, where you feel like you have the upper hand, but you can't really translate your dominance into goals, suddenly you find yourself on the back foot, and Paul Onuachu, who I knew was going to be a problem for us, even though he's far from settled in yet at Trabzon, but he got on the end of a brilliant Bardi cross, and he heads them 1-0 up. And at that point, you can really see that we didn't respond well. And it's also, it also highlights the big difference. And one of my biggest gripes with Şenol Güneş that I have said over and over again is the fact that he is so slow and frankly bad at implementing new players into the side when they're not in this, when they aren't, when he has someone already in their position that he kind of trusts. It's like, it's not happening. Because, like, look at this. Paul Onuachu, new player. Mendy, new player. They all start straight away for Trabzon. You see the same thing happen for Fenerbahce. Did Dusan Tadic sit on the bench for five weeks? No, he just started straight away. And the same thing for Galatasaray. When they have a new player, they just start straight away when they're fit. And that's just not the case with us. And the problem now is that because he had to rotate for this game, well, he didn't have to. I guess Muleka was fit, but like, first and foremost, why does Cenk start? He's clearly not fit yet. That was very clear that he isn't ready to start a game yet. You can bring him in the last 20 or 30 minutes. Let him pick up some match rhythm first. Although, don't get me wrong, he had a couple of really good moments. There was this one really neat flick in the opening 30 or so minutes where, yeah, that was really nice. And it actually led, I believe, to that Jetson opportunity, because I think he flicks it to Rebic, who then plays Jetson through. But other than that, like, Cenk just, yeah, he isn't where he needs to be yet. And Aboubakar, for, you know, he hasn't necessarily been the greatest so far this season, in my opinion, from open play. But he is our most fit striker. And yeah, he came back late. Sure, whatever. He had a family emergency with his son being ill. So he got permission from the club and he went. He arrived the day before the game. But should that matter? He just played a game for Cameroon during midweek. It's not like he didn't train. It's not like he isn't match fit. He should just be starting. And this is typical Şenol Güneş behavior. Şenol being Şenol. Oh, you know, guy's back late. I'm starting him on the bench. This is a game away against Trabzon. This is one of the tougher away games of the season. I don't care what people say, because a lot of my friends were very much looking forward to this game and expecting us to go there and beat the shit out of Trabzon because they've been so poor lately. But I knew this was gonna be tough, and I knew we were gonna drop points. I even told them as much. We're dropping points. Don't even think about winning 1-4 or whatever. We are dropping points for sure. First and foremost, Urjan always plays like a fucking panther against us. Granted, he had very little work. He didn't even have to play as a panther. But also just the fact that they did sign a lot of good players in the last week of the transfer window. Once the international window closed for most countries, they got some opportunities. A guy like Paul Onuachu, I know most of you probably don't know him, but I know him very well. He played for arguably my favorite club in Belgium, Genk. He was a monster there. And look, he might not look like the most technically gifted player, and he simply isn't, but he's 2 meter 1 centimeter tall. So 201 centimeter tall. He knows how to head a ball. He knows how to finish. He knows where he has to be. He is a goal machine. He was for Genk. He was before that when he played. I think it was Midtjylland. I think he played. He's a freaking goal machine. And I'm happy Trabzon only loaned him, because he's just one of those guys that if they get him on a free, or if they like signed him permanently, there's gonna be a problem for a lot of teams, because he's really, really good for our league. Especially a guy like that, he's gonna score a lot of goals if he can stay fit, because he actually got subbed off in this game because he picked up an injury. But if he stays fit, he's gonna score, he's gonna get close to 20 goals, mark my words. And they just start straight away, and it's not like they don't have other options. And as Destan had a great performance last week against Kasımpaşa, so he could have started. No, they got a new striker in, immediately starts. Look at Mendy, he was one of their better players. I personally think we kind of made him look better than he maybe was, but still, he came in, he dominated. And I really think dropping points against this Trabzonspor, it's not. Look, Bakasetas, if you watch this game, like, he was their star when they won the league, him and Hamsik and some others, but Bakasetas was instrumental. He's a shadow of his former self. Like, if you watch this game, the only thing he did was get in a fight with Rozier, and that's literally all he did, and maybe take a free kick or two. He was poor. Edin Visca, yeah, he got an assist, but he seems like he's had his best years. Trezeguet, yeah, he caused some issues when he came on because we were playing with a high line, and ultimately that led to the 3-0 in the second half. But, like, those guys are not what they used to be anymore. So they are really already relying on new guys and Enes Bardi, who has been really good this season for them so far. And also, you know, last season when he came in the beginning of the season, he was really good for them too. He just got dragged down by the level of the rest of the team, I think, but he's a quality player, no doubt. But that's the difference with Channel then. Look at this lineup, what an amalgamation was it? He starts with Rebic up top and Cenk and Rasicka. Rasicka is just settling in. Rebic has never started in the league. I don't think he started in Europe either. And Cenk neither. So he's going away against Trabzonspor and he's starting three players that have barely ever played together. Like Cenk and Rebic and Rasicka, I think they maybe played like 10 minutes together, the three of them, before this game. Because Rasicka came on as a sub initially, together when maybe Cenk and Rebic also did. But then Rasicka straight got into the team rather quickly. Very uncharacteristic for Chanel, but it might have had something to do with the fact that he had to start a right back as a winger, which he still did for like two games, mind you. Once Rasicka came. But then, like, Rebic and Cenk have had very little opportunity outside of training to build up chemistry with Rasicka and with each other, right? Rebic is supposed to be our new left winger. I don't think he's played a minute with Aboubakar, who's our number one striker. Shouldn't these guys be on the pitch together? Build chemistry? But Channel, every time he puts Rebic on, he takes Aboubakar off. So how are these guys supposed to build any form of chemistry together? He makes subs at halftime, he takes Rebic off and he takes Cenk off and he puts Muleka and Aboubakar on. Exactly my point. You take off both those guys. Rebic wasn't even... Like, Rebic was... He created our only clear-cut goal-scoring opportunity in the first half and you just take him off. Rasicka was horrible this game. I think it was in the first half, he literally prevented Rozier from scoring an equalizer. Because there was some mix-up at the back for Trabzon. Ujan made a mistake, I think. Rozier got basically an empty net and Rasicka freaking... blocks it. Like, he runs in front of it, tries to steal the goal or something. I'm not sure what the hell is happening there, but, like, yeah, and I felt like Rasicka throughout the game didn't really do much, but again, didn't really do much good, I should say. I also think one of the goals was him losing the ball. Look, I'm not gonna shit on Rasicka. He's a new guy. He's clearly quality. We've seen it already a few times that he has a lot of quality. He is going to be important for us this season. But so is Rebic, or should be at least. But Channel needs to stop being Channel and needs to get these players into the lineup and get chemistry together. But then don't do it like this, where you change half the team almost. Well, that's a stretch. But he changes his entire front three, basically, with two players that have never played together. It really bugs me. And still starting Onur at left back, and Sali, who played a really poor match, plays 90 minutes, I think, or did he get subbed off? I don't even remember. But he starts with five Turks. So he started with Mert, Necip, Onur, Cenk, and Sali. Five Turks. You only need three on the pitch, right? So he has every opportunity to bench someone. Could have benched. Necip started with Erik Bailly. I understand that he didn't, because Bailly played a friendly over the international break and only played 45 minutes, so he probably not fit, right? You would imagine. But for example, Ox. Why isn't Ox starting in this game instead of Sali, right? Why is Zainuddinov not starting, who doesn't even count as a foreigner? Put him in. Everything we've seen of Zainuddinov so far is quality, in my opinion. And he doesn't even get the start. Like, put him in. Salih hasn't been really good. There's this whole thing going on right now with Salih and Cenk for a contract extension. But I'm sorry, Salih, if you play like this, you are not worth the money you are asking for. The only reason that Salih is worth a lot of money to us is because he's a Turk. Because he can play under that Turkish status. But he needs to be more consistent and better. Cenk, after last season, proving again that he is a quality player, he deserves a better contract, period. Even if this season, you know, he struggles with injuries, whatever. Last season, he scored like, what, 17 goals or something. He's always fighting for the team. Cenk is a model professional. He's an important player in the locker room. He should stay, whatever the cost. Salih, I also want him to stay, but I don't think Salih is entitled to the same type of money that Cenk should be getting. They're not asking the same money, supposedly, but close to each other, right? So I don't think they should be that close. I think realistically, Salih, 1 million, 1.2 million max. Cenk, 1.5, 1.7. That's realistically what they are worth, I think, given our average wages in the team. Anyway, it was a very poor performance overall after we conceded that first goal, which is a shame because before that, we looked really good and you could see glances of the football that we want to see as fans, but also the channel wants to play. And I think this loss is largely on channel for some questioning decisions in the lineup, but also just, you know, the players let their heads hang, especially at 2-0. I think if it stayed 1-0 at half until halftime, I think we could have turned this game around because we're good at that. And as Shinnel gets his hand on the players and at halftime, he can do things and change things around. But yeah, once that third one went in relatively early as well in the second half, it was just over. 2-0 was a stretch. And the worst part is, I think, that we didn't really create chances after. I don't remember any really good goal-scoring opportunities other than that disallowed goal, and I think that's one of the most damning things from this result. Look, we're coming off a 20-odd match undefeated streak. I think we have seen a lot of good from Şenol Güneş since his return. A lot that reminisces. That reminds us of the good time, the good first 2 years under Şenol Güneş. But in this game, I really got reminded a lot of the last two seasons of Şenol Güneş, a lot of the bad things. So everyone's allowed an off day, so is the coach. This is a bad result for us, but we need to be realistic. A season, first and foremost, isn't won based on one game. This isn't a difficult away game. 1-0 or 3-0, it doesn't really matter all that much. It's bad for morale. But we need to move forward and look at our next game, which is already on Thursday against Club Brugge, our arguably hardest opponent in the Conference League. Although, if you checked out our episodes on Bodo Glimt and Lugano, especially Bodo Glimt, I think will be a very tough nut to crack as well. But Club Brugge are going to be extremely difficult. They had a game on the weekend, of course, and they beat Charleroi 4-2 at home. But they had a very tough time in the game as well. I believe they went a goal down twice, if I'm not mistaken. They had their hands full. They came off a very disappointing loss, I believe, 2 weeks ago against rivals Ghent. So it's not like they're perfect this season, but you know, Thursday is going to be really difficult. It's going to be a very important game for us, I think, to get off to a positive start in the Conference League. This is arguably our hardest game in the group stages, although, Bodo Glimt is going to be very tough as well. But we don't travel away to Bodø/Glimt, I think, until match day 4. So it's very important that we get something from this game. And also just for the morale, I think a good reaction needs to be shown on Thursday against Club Brugge. Good football. We need to show some guts. And if we can get a good result there, it will translate hopefully into good vibes going into the rest of the league. Going forward, because we got some difficult games coming up in the league as well. We have our game against Adana Demirspor that got postponed to the Dynamo Kiev qualifiers a couple of weeks ago. That's an away game as well. And look, if we played this, well, like I said, we played good in the first 30 minutes, but whatever, in overall in the 90 minutes, if we did play this poorly against Adana Demirspor, who are a far better team than Trabzonspor is, because like I said, Trabzonspor, like, they beat us thanks to a lot of new guys that haven't even settled in yet. Like, this Trabzonspor side is nowhere near as good as they are going to be in a couple of weeks. You know, Galatasaray got, I think, really lucky to play them really early in the season. And I think that has kind of skewed people's views on Trabzonspor, thinking they're really bad. And then they had that loss against Çaykur Rizespor as well. A Rizespor that have a very good team chemistry, mind you. Just look at their results right now. They just beat Konya, I believe, in Konya. Rize are looking really good this season. But Trabzonspor looked poor in those first couple of games. But I think Bjelica looks like a decent coach, and they actually made some good moves in the transfer market. I think Trabzonspor in a couple of weeks' time are gonna be in a good place, especially with the additions of Mendy and Onuachu now. But let's move on from this game. We already talked a little bit about the Club Brugge match. It's gonna be very important for us. Hopefully Masuaku is fit to play and back. I don't want to see Onur Bulut start against Club Brugge. Frankly, I don't want to see Taifur start against Club Brugge. We need Masuaku, we need Rosier, we need Colli, and then the question is going to be who's going to be the partner of Colli in the center. Do you start a new guy? Look, Masuaku, Colli, and Rosier, that's a given. They know each other. I think you can afford to start a new guy there. I don't know what Amartey's condition is. If Erik Bailly is fit, I think he should start. It's Europe. We don't have any Turkish limit there. Don't start Necip. Necip, I thought, was really poor against Trabzonspor. He had several hiccups that could have been really bad for us, but Rosier cleaned one up. This was still 0-0, I think, mind you. And then he had one really bad back pass as well that got cleared, I think, by Mert, I'm not sure. So Necip against Trabzonspor looked really bad. I hope he doesn't start against Club Brugge. Club Brugge are a whole other level than Trabzonspor. So we need to be prepared for that. We can't be screwing around with Şenol being Şenol there. Şenol needs to start his best team on Thursday. That means Abubakar. That means the three I mentioned. Mert, of course. And then I think Bey. And then in midfield, you know, given how Salih performed, I think Hadji Ahmetović and Gedson played their game. Gedson wasn't very lucky. And Hadji Ahmetović was good in the opening 30 minutes, but then kind of faded away a little bit. But Salih just didn't have a good game. He was had a stinker of a match. So I think you need to react and put Ox in. Or put Zainuddinov in. Put someone else in. Send a message to Salih. He needs to up his level. If he wants a pay raise and if he wants to be a starter, he needs to play better than the way he played against Trabzonspor. And then up top, yeah, Rasička is a given, Abubakar, like I said. And then on the left, I think it's time to introduce Rebic and let him play with Abubakar for the first time. I think that should be the lineup, but it's probably going to be Muleka, which is okay as long as Abubakar starts too. I doubt that he's going to start Ox or Zainuddinov. He's probably going to start Salih. I just hope that he doesn't start on that left back again. So that's Thursday, very important game for both Beşiktaş and Club Brugge, playing arguably the hardest opponents of each other in the group stages. So let's hope it pans out like that we are their hardest opponent, that it doesn't end up being Bodø. But let's talk a little bit about other stuff now, because there are still some things that happened in the last week of the transfer window that are important to discuss. So moving away from the games, first and foremost, Beşiktaş have signed Gökhan İnler to a one-year deal. He is nearly 40 years old and he played for Adana Demirspor last season, played in 33 matches for Adana Demirspor and around 1100 minutes. He got 2 goals and 3 assists in those 1100 minutes though, so 39 years old, almost 40. He still has some gas left in the tank. He wants to retire at the end of the season and he wanted to do so at Beşiktaş. There's already talks of there being a retirement game at the end of the season for Gökhan with Napoli. I'm not against this signing. I think it's fine. It gives us a little bit more depth. It's another player that can play under the Turkish status, if I'm not mistaken, because yeah, he should be able to play under the Turkish status because he opted to play for Switzerland way before 2015, so it should be fine. Then the other big news regarding this is that Gökhan İnler is one of a select group of 30 people that are entering a UEFA course this year to become something to do with sporting directors. So the talks is as well that Gökhan İnler, once he retires at the end of the season, will become Beşiktaş's new sporting director, replacing Ceyhun Kazancı. And of course, he will already be taking on certain extra sportive responsibilities this season, but he has a player license, so he will be able to play, he will be training with the team. I think this is actually really good, not necessarily the fact that I don't think we really needed him, although he does offer some depth options, but I think it's really good that we are going to get a former player. Of course, Gökhan İnler became champions with us in 2016-17. Cannot forget that he played for us then as well. He's always been a Beşiktaş fan since he was a kid. There's pictures of him with Ahmet Tuğsun, with Pascal Numa as a child. So he's always had that affinity for Beşiktaş. That's very positive, I think. Gökhan İnler made his money. He made millions and millions. I don't think we have to worry about him pocketing money on transfers, like there are some rumors that certain directors and people, and you know, I think there's somebody we can trust. He's Swiss. Swiss are always good with money, right? So that's a little bit of a positive discrimination there. But I think this is a good move. Gökhan İnler got allowed to that UEFA course. That's already a good sign. And I've been saying this for years, I want a former player to be sporting director. Now, ideally, I'd want it to be somebody who has a little bit more of a history with the club, but the most important thing is that this is a qualified person. Gökhan İnler looks like he might have those qualifications. On top of that, he has history in the Premier League, he has history in the Serie A, and he has, of course, his home base, Switzerland. So he is going to hopefully have connections already, which is very important in that world, that you don't left faxing constantly to get a player convinced or whatever. There's rumors, of course, but about Ceyhun Kazancı and Dusan Tadic that he was still faxing while Ali Koç went there in person, but whatever. No, I think Gökhan İnler is going to be a good move in that regard. I just hope that whoever is the president at the end of this season, if it probably still will be Ahmet Nurçebi, because I think the next elections aren't for another year or two, but there might be hastened if the season doesn't go very well. Anyway, I think Gökhan İnler is a good candidate, and I hope whoever becomes the next president of the club will also see that and will leave him and let him do his job. The most important thing isn't not just to have a sporting director, but also to allow those people to work. In Turkey, that is a problem because of the egos of board members who always want to be in the limelight, who want to profile themselves thanks to a club becoming a board member of a club. They want to put themselves into the spotlight to make a name for themselves. The important part when you have a sporting director is that the sporting director makes the decisions, not board members. So I hope this is going to end up in a way where Beşiktaş become a more professionally run club. And I hope Gökhan İnler can help us towards that. Another big news bite is that the TFF, the Turkish Football Federation, have put the Beşiktaş Stadium forward to host either the 2026 or 2027 Europa League or Conference League finals. quite rich if you think about it, that they put our stadium forward for those big games, but they can't be bothered including the Beşiktaş Stadium into their proposal to run the Euros or the World Cup because, yeah, the stadium isn't big enough, is what they're saying. Come on, guys. It's the best stadium the country has to offer. It should always be on the list. Always. There is no excuse not putting Beşiktaş Stadium on the list. And that brings me to my next point. Still no stadium sponsor. Still no stadium sponsor. Emre Kocada said halfway through August, at the end of the month, the name will be known. We are almost at the end of September now. More than a month ago that he said that, and still no stadium sponsor is known. Ahmet Nurçebi made some statements last week as well about the stadium sponsor, that it's gonna be a big deal and blah blah blah. Still no announcement. Announce the stadium sponsor. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Black Eagles podcast. I know it wasn't the most lifted performance of mine, of course, coming off of a very disappointing defeat at the moment. Not much positive to talk about, but hopefully next week's episode will be filled with more positivity after I'm hoping a good result in Europe and, of course, in the league. So stay tuned, see you next week, and don't forget, go Beşiktaş! Harika, harika, harika.